Fixin.
Hello and welcome back to What the F Stop. I'm your host Jamal. Today I'll be talking to Zane Rizza. He's a photographer slash YouTuber from London. He dabbles mainly in the art of street photography. We spoke about his methods, COVID lockdowns and many other things. I do apologise in advance. There are a few audio issues I didn't pick up when recording. But for the final time, let's jump right in. So, first question, how would you describe your style? I know you said street photography.
So generally nowadays, I do street photography mostly, but I just try to, you know, document my life kind of thing, just my surroundings. And I was thinking about these questions, like it's actually really hard to describe one's own style. It's so difficult, isn't it? Because you just like, you just look at it, it's like, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, just shoot.
But yeah. So I think to as simple as possible, probably I try to call it, like the beautiful things in everyday life. That's what I look out for at least.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. Yeah, I just try to find the most like just aesthetic things, aesthetic light, just beautiful every day. That's why I describe it.
No, yeah, because your stuff is like, it's street photography, but like when I've gone out and tried to shoot street photography, I'm like, how comes I've never seen these things? It's just like, I walk about for hours and I'm like, Zane's
Is
like crazy images. And I'm like, looking around London, I'm like, I can't find anything.
I mean, I do like, it does, like, I do hit the same spot over and over again. Which sort of like, yeah, I mean, that helps. You know, if you just go to the same spot every single time.
And yeah. You said you look for the everyday beautiful things in life. Would you say that's what makes a good photo for you, capturing moments?
Yeah. Yeah, moments, really. So just, I don't know, just funny sort of moments that catch my eye, moments that I know that you probably wouldn't see there again. So it's usually like, I don't know, it'll be like, you know, a couple kissing, you know, couples holding hands. I get drawn a lot towards couples for some reason. I think it's because they're very expressive. It's quite an unusual thing, you know. If you're people who are very, because you know, when you're trying to do street photography, you're trying to find things that are interesting, and generally people who are a bit more expressive, they just look more interesting, and couples, you know, people feel more comfortable if they're in a couple to be more expressive. So I tend to take a lot of photos of couples, beautiful things, you know, sometimes just clothing, you know, like very easy. Sometimes when people wear like a, you know, I get drawn to like red lipstick a lot. I like that. But also like, I got asked the other day, why do I always take pictures of like, you know, I got a bit defensive because they said like, why do you always take pictures of old people? As if like, I take other pictures as well.
Yeah, but, exactly.
but old people in general, I think it's because they, you know, their faces are very, they tell so much more, like they're so much more interesting, I find.
Yeah.
In general. I try to take fewer pictures of them because otherwise all my photos would just be old people. But yeah, they tend to, I feel like they tend to make a bit more of an effort when they get dressed. And they tend to care less if you get close to them and take their photo as well, I find. But you know, things I'd like to avoid are like cars, like modern day cars. For me, they sort of ruin images. Yeah. That's why I find them not as aesthetic, even though they are very everyday.
Yeah. So you said about, you know, old people are easier to take photos of. So would you say that's an obstacle you've come against where taking photos and, you know, people kind of jump and get defensive?
I mean, it's like, as an obstacle, like, oh, yeah, what you mean, like, is
like sort of people the, like, approaching, like, oh, you're taking a photo of me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, that, it does. I think it is, it's not necessarily an obstacle. Like, I mean, in the beginning, it's more of the thought of it, the anxiety. Sorry, just got some messages there. Yeah, like, it's more like within, like,
yeah.
You know, like an anxiety more of, like, when you, cause there comes a point where if I do it enough times, people getting upset, it doesn't bother me too much.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say it's more, the obstacle is more in my mind. Because now the more I do it, I find that very few people, I mean, it does happen. Of course it does. If you want to get good at street photography, you kind of have to have like a practice routine, a practice response to sort of people who might get upset to it. There are ways of sort of getting around it.
Yeah.
You can just ignore them and pretend like you'd never, like, because that does work as well. Like, I've taken photos of someone and I just keep the camera to my face and I just don't make eye contact with them. And then they think, I mean, it's quite a common tactic that people use. So I can't take credit for it, but like, I'll take a photo and I've seen like this one woman, she's like threw her hands up, but then I just look straight past her and she put her hands straight back down.
Never happened.
She saw that. She's like, oh, and then she's like kind of embarrassed. Like, oh, he wasn't looking at me at all. It was a shit photo. It was completely blurry. So it didn't even matter. But.
And obviously COVID's hit us over the past year. How's that affected your street photography?
It's quite interesting, actually. So first lockdown, I was really, really productive. Like, honestly, I was just doing like a loop around, like a quite long loop around my house. And I think I shot at least 3 rolls a week. So I was really, really productive, just because, like, there was just nothing else to do. So it was like the only way. So, you know, the one allotted bit of activity we're allowed each day, yeah. I would use to do, you know, to take street photography around my neighborhood. So I was really, really good, actually. And I feel like I actually improved quite a lot. Spent a lot of time. Just doing the same spot. So I was, you know, I was knowing where the light was. I thought it actually helped it a lot. But then by like the third lockdown, so around January to March, like then it's like, I don't know, productivity was really low. Like, yeah. I can't do the same route again. I can't do it for the 40th, 50th time. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
So there was, the past maybe March, April, like I felt like I was really, really rusty because I went from like shooting 3 rolls a week, maybe even more than that, to shooting 1 roll a week every 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And for me, I'm one of those people, like, I need to constantly be like hitting it.
Yeah, exactly.
In order to keep, just to maintain like a certain level.
Yeah, nice. For sure.
So initially very well towards the end of, still kind of in lockdown, but towards the end of it, it was just made a lot worse.
Yeah. And I'm taking it back to your YouTube, like, how do you find it juggling that with also doing photography on the side?
What do you mean, like professional photography or like
just juggling it, like making videos?
Oh yeah, so video and photo, trying to do it at the same time.
Yeah,
like, oh, honestly, if I could have someone to do video for me, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh mate, like if I could just have someone there, just follow me, just please, it would make life so much easier because it. I know you see Aoki.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like he made a point about it. They're so different, you know, because to make a photo look interesting, you know, it's one shot, right? But then to make a video look interesting, you know, you want to get a few angles. You need to think about audio, and you know, and if you don't have like a flip out screen, because you know, the X-T3 doesn't, I've used the X-T3, doesn't have a flip out screen, so it's just, you know, and it's just like you're thinking about five different things just for one shot. And then, of course, that takes time, takes energy. And, of course, it, like, you know, it detracts from like, the other things, you know, focusing on photography, then it detracts from the videography. So, yeah, it is. So, like, it does take careful planning if you want it to look really good. It takes time. But, yeah, ideally, I'll have, who knows, maybe next, if the channel grows enough, then I would love to hire.
Yeah, putting that out there. See, I'm sure there'll be people jumping.
Well, not yet, but like hopefully soon. Well, I don't know. At some point, I will definitely look to, you know, get someone involved on that side.
Yeah. And on one of your YouTube videos, I think it was the shoot in black and white for 30 days.
Oh, yeah.
What was that like? How was the experience?
Yeah, it was good. It was actually it's really interesting experience. Like just to give context on it. So I was looking through. So like the whole of 2020, I shot maybe one roll of black and white, and I sort of see deficiencies in my portfolio as a chance to sort of, you know, okay, that's something I can do now. Okay, I can sort of address this. So I thought I just didn't have enough black and white photos in my, you know, in my hard drive. So I was like, okay, this is a chance for me to sort of really, you know, hone in on it and, you know, improve it, because I don't want to, because I, you know, for me, I found that my images were boring in black and white. So I thought maybe, you know, for me, like, what's, I always think that the best way to improve something is just to do more of it.
Practice,
so perfect. Yeah, exactly. So I thought, okay, what's a decent enough time frame to really get to grips with it? And I thought, okay, what about 30 days? If I do 30 days in a row, hopefully by then I can create images that, you know, at least I'll get some black and white images that I really, really like. Because, because, you know, the way I thought about it is like, okay, if I do, you know, if I do maybe 1 to 2, at least an hour or maybe 10 minutes, whatever it is, across 30 days, it will add up. It'll be a significant amount of time. Day to day, so the first few weeks, maybe week one, week two, maybe the first 10 days, it was like, it was a bit tedious because it was a bit of a push because the weather was really crap. It was like, you know, January.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah, like
typical British weather.
And like the days are shorter, isn't it?
Yeah.
So like 5 hours of light, and if the days are cloudy, you know, it's like it's actually quite dark.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, even like middle of the day, it's quite, so it's hard to gear yourself up and be like, okay, let's go get some bangers.
Yeah, it's just grey. Like, it's just like you look outside and you're like, oh, this is a bit
It's just, so yeah, so it was a bit of a, yeah, it was a bit of a slog the first few days. But then, you know, I realized that actually black and white actually does well with, you know, if it were like black and white is far better suited for like these gray, dark days than color, because color is just, you know, if you're trying to take a color photo of a gray day, it's just like,
most doesn't of the time make sense. It's
look flat and boring. Exactly. And since it's also, you know, since there's not much light, you know, it gets dark very early, so you know, you're gonna have to bump with the ISO. So if you bump the ISO, it's gonna be noisy, but then in black and white, it's not too big. It's not it's fine.
Forgiving. Definitely
so,
forgiving.
Yeah, it works. So those things were quite interesting to learn, like, you know. But overall, it's quite nice by the end of it. Obviously, by the end of it, I was like, oh, I'm so done with this. Like 30 days in a row, just shooting the same thing, like the same route, more or less. I was quite happy done with it. But, I was quite surprised at how, I don't know if anyone would actually see it or would want to watch that, you know, So yeah, it was quite nice to see how it was received as well. Yeah.
And where did you, like, how did your photography start? Like, where did your journey start?
Oh, a bit of a long one. So it's a bit of a stop and start one, actually. So at first, it's one of my biggest life regrets. So I picked up a camera first time when I was 16. And I because I wanted to document, like, my, you know, family holidays, like birthday parties, friends and all that. And I did it for, you know, about 2 years. And I got, like, you know, it was just so much fun because I was, like, the guy with the camera at the parties. You know, before smartphones were good enough to take photos, I made like little photo books. And then that camera broke, and then, you know, I didn't really think about it. Such a pain in the ass to try to repair it. You know, it couldn't be fixed. And then, so I just left it. And I didn't really take photography seriously until I was 25 again. Because, you know, so I was very arty at school, and I realized that in that period from 18 to 25, I literally wasn't doing anything creative, anything sort of artistic. Yeah. And I just felt there was I don't want to make it sound too emotional, but there was a bit of a void. There was a bit of a creative void there, because art used to make me so happy. Like, you know, when, you know, that flow state, right? Where you, like, it's such a peaceful state to be in, you know, And I did not have that for that long. And then when I used to have a clothing business when I was 25. I started one out, and I hired a photographer, to shoot a campaign for me. And I was like, fuck, this is so expensive. I was like, fuck.
Throwing in a hole in your wallet. Whoa.
Yeah, exactly, right? I was like, I can't do this again. So I literally bought a camera, learned everything. I learned it properly. You know, I was refreshed, you know, and then I just went heavy on it ever since. I fell in love with it. I became obsessed. And that's led me to here. So, you know, by the time... And then to whenever it started, so like 2019, I realized that there was a lot of content on YouTube that I wished was there when I started out. And that's when I started creating YouTube videos. Yeah.
Yeah, and I know you do shoot film and digital. What is your preference?
Oh, mate, what are you trying to do? You're trying to start a war? What are you doing? I would say film for the most part. Yeah. Just because, like, there's far more... It's not necessarily because of the look. I mean, I do prefer look most of the time.
Yeah.
But it's more of like a sentimental... Like, I feel far more connected to the image. I far more ownership of the image, just because so many things have to go, because, you know, I also develop and scan it. There's so many things have to go right in order for that image to come out well.
Yeah.
If I could shoot purely film, I would, like, fantastic. But yeah, just the budget way. it's like, because for me, again, it's like, if I'm going to experiment on things, try like a new lighting technique, or, sometimes it's just like, it's exhausting if I'm only shooting film, because then, because, you know, you have to film and scan it. So, like, just to give myself a break from film, just because, you know, literally just from, like, to save some time, then I'll shoot digital. Because sometimes, especially in the winter, not so much now, and not so much last year, because I didn't really travel on the tube much last year. But on the tube, obviously, it's darker. You know, there's a lot less light. And I see a lot of, Like, yeah. From in my opinion, I find that the London Underground is so photogenic because there's so many, like, you know, leading lines, so many, like, different chances, like, framing, like, all the arches, you know, and, you know, people, you know, there's so much buzz in the Tube. You know, as much as I despise the Tube, you know, I'll take any excuse to not use it. But when I do have to use it, like, there's so many great photos down there. And, you know, if you want to shoot down there, really, you're going to have, you know, very, very fast film, and you know, that's, I'd rather shoot digital than having to stock up on like Portrait 800 or something like that.
Yeah, I know, it's pricey. That's the only thing about film, it's the hole it burns in
your wallet. We love film, but film doesn't love us, eh?
Exactly. Like, you know, it's not going to get any cheaper either. That's the worst thing about it.
Yeah, man. Like, I'm just fine. Like, honestly, I'm just thinking, like, when I think about money nowadays, I'm like, okay, how am I going to make enough money so that I can keep on shooting film? So I can keep on developing it and all that.
Yeah. And when did you start your, like, developing and scanning? Was there a time, did you start from the beginning, like, developing and scanning?
Or? Very beginning. Like, literally, I did, like, before I picked up, so I bought my Canon A1 and then I got it developed and then I was like, ooh, that's just one roll.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. I got it developed at like Snappy Snaps. So it wasn't even anywhere particularly like
professional.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was like, you know, obviously, because at that point I was like, even from the beginning, I was like, okay, I want to take this really seriously. And like, because I was watching, you know, George Muncy, like I was looking at the quality of their photos. Like, you know what? If you can do it, I want the good stuff as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, I looked up the good stuff. You know, Bayer is like, don't get me wrong, like their stuff's incredible. Like the scans you get are incredible. It's like £20 a roll.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, I did the numbers. I was like, oh fuck, if I just, you know, because the way I wanted to shoot it, because you know some people shoot film, you know, casually, you know, maybe one roll every few weeks, every few months. So it's like, that's fine. But for me, I knew from the beginning that I wanted to be like every week, you know, I wanted to go consistent. Really hard on it. Yeah, you know. So I realized, okay, so from the beginning, I got everything, you know, I got all the developing gear, I got all the scanning gear from the beginning, because I knew that in the long run, I was going to save way more money.
Yeah.
Which there was even a period, like I think that was like a 6-month period where I moved away from film and shot just digital, because I realized I made a point of it in my video about why you shouldn't shoot film because that did well as well, actually. People like that. I shot film. So in the beginning I shot film for like 3 months and I was like, the first few rolls was really fun, it was really novel. I was like, ooh. But then I realized that I wasn't very good because I was looking at my scans and I was like, I hate this, I don't like this. And I can't keep, I didn't want to be paying photos that I didn't like.
Yeah, exactly.
So I got like I got a secondhand Expo 2 and I adapted one of my vintage lenses. And I just took loads of photos there, and then after maybe 5-6 months, I don't know how long it was. And then I got to a point where I was like, okay, I think I'm good enough to get back into film.
I've definitely
to at least justify the cost of it, you know.
Yeah, I've only started developing black and white. I've had a nightmare with the colour stuff, but I think I've developed roll. And it was like, I don't know, something went wrong with the colours. Like, colour development is like so hard compared to black and white being at room temperature, and it was just I got nightmares.
What the Tessenov is it? Yeah. Which kit did you use? Tessenov.
Yeah, it was like the Tessenov, like the beginner kit, like you know the one you see like on like eBay, and you know it's just like beginner color development. And it was just
I mean I've been developing. I mean I don't know if I can call myself a veteran, but like I've developed hundreds of rolls by now, like, and I still mess it up all the time. I don't know, the other day I showed, I didn't get a photo of it because it was, I was in a blind panic trying to rescue and not die. But the chemical, the storage bottles I use are glass. And, I've literally done it so many times. So I, you know, pour boiling water in like a bath to heat up the chemicals. And then just this one time, the Blix bottle cracked.
No shit.
Like the sudden change of temperature cracked. And I was like, I picked it up. I was like, oh shit, it cracked and it started to leak a bit. I was like, okay, maybe if I can, I was trying to find like gaff tape or something just to patch it up. And then I picked it up again. Then the whole bottom, the whole base, like clean break. And then like the Blix just went everywhere, mate, like on the floor. And I was like, oh. And then like, yeah, it was, it looked like a fucking crime scene.
Yeah, I hope it didn't stain anything.
Thankfully not. Yeah, it like, I, you know, quickly Googled like, am I going to die? But then if you thoroughly clean it with like plenty of water, yeah, you should be fine. But it was like, I was like thinking to myself, like, what, even now I'm still, you know, messing it up.
Where do you see yourself like in the future with your photography and your YouTube?
I mean, ideally having a, you know, a bigger channel, large community. I'd love to, you know, obviously work with brands. That'd be, you know, that'd be awesome. You know, getting commissioned for my work, kind of thing, to do work. You know, just the dreams every photographer has, you know.
Yeah,
getting photo books. Sure.
To make photo it, books. Basically.
Yeah, you know, that'd be fantastic. Yeah, that, I would love that. But also just having like a nice loyal community who will support my work. That would be the dream, to be honest.
Yeah, for sure. And you said with the photo books, with your photography, have you ever thought about, you know, converting it into something physical with a zine or a photo book?
Yeah, man, of course. I would love to, like, a zine, just like little publications here and there, like a photo book, of course. Because I feel like it's sort of like the final, like the final step in the process, right, in the game.
Yeah.
Sorry. Can you hear that?
Yeah. No, I can't hear it.
Okay, good. It's like a dog barking at that. yeah, because I feel like, you know, you, for me to, like, it's such a, like, photography, to get really good at photography, it's like, it's such a commitment, isn't it?
Yeah.
And to me, for me, like, if there's no, like, end goal, then you're kind of just, like, treading water. It's like, it's kind of, like, pointless, in my opinion. So I'm trying to, I announced on the channel that I was working on a project. I am working on a project called, like, the Couples Project, you know, where it's just, like, a collection of all, like, the photos of couples I've taken on out on the street.
Yeah.
But that is another obstacle. The obstacle I found with putting a zine or a photo book together is that it takes a fucking long time.
Yeah. Like, it's a long process.
I mean, if you want it to be done well, it's going to take a fucking long time because, you know,
it's sourcing,
getting enough good images that you're happy with.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, so yeah, for sure, like, that, you know, I've got so many, you know, part of me is just like, screw it, let's just put something together, you know, make it, you know, just to do it. You know, you gotta, otherwise, because also there's also a part of me that's like, oh, do people actually want it? Do people,
Or they just like it enough just to give it a like on Instagram or something.
Yeah, exactly, man. You know, that's exactly. That's also another, you know, that's a bit of a thing. I'm like, oh, maybe I'm not ready yet. Maybe the people don't want it yet. So I don't know. Oh yeah, but of course, like it's there. Like I have at least 4 like photo book ideas, project ideas, that I've shared with some people. But yeah, of course, for sure I do.
Yeah. And
maybe I'll have enough images maybe next year or maybe the year after. But as soon as I have enough images,
yeah,
and I'm happy with them, for sure I'll be putting them out.
Yeah.
As a zine or a photo book.
And what would you tell yourself at the beginning of your journey, what you know now, like what would you say to yourself, or what would you
at the beginning thing, so
yeah,
oh mate, just take more photos. Yeah, mate, simple as that. Take more photos, record it all, shoot with purpose as well. After a while, yeah, shoot with purpose. And yeah, connect with people, find more people who care about what you do, who care about the same things. And share your work a lot more. That'd be a big thing as well.
Yeah.
Share it. Let people know that you're, what you're doing. Don't be afraid to sell yourself, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Promote yourself. Yeah, don't be afraid to promote yourself, kind of thing. Yeah,
for sure. Well, with that being said, thank you, Zane, for joining me. Where could the listeners find your stuff?
On Instagram at Zane Reza Photo, and on YouTube, just Zane Reza, ZANRIZA.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, man.
I want to thank Zane for coming on the show and sharing his insight. You can check out more of his work and YouTube in the description. With that being said, I want to thank all the guests that have appeared on the show this season. It's been a massive learning experience starting this podcast, and I can't wait to come back for season 2 with some new guests and ideas. Thanks for listening, and make sure to follow us on Spotify and Instagram. You can subscribe via other podcast platforms for future episodes.